the teacher's telling me that I need to have my child do all the problems, all the math problems. But the problem is, mom says, is if he does all the math problems, then he is going to be spending his entire day doing schoolwork, and there is no time for family time and for relationship building and for him to pursue other things that are important and that are part of who he is. The goal of true education is not accomplish 50 math problems. So her question was really about how long is too long, how long is appropriate, and how much repetition do we need in order for a child to receive and process information and be able to retrieve it later to be used.
In today's episode, I speak specifically to a friend who reached out and said, "How long am I supposed to be making my kid work?" I think this principle will really encourage you and equip you to make this an awesome homeschool week. Be encouraged. Hey friend, welcome to A Heart for All Students podcast. My name is Lindsay LaVisca, and it's my honor to be with you each week to talk about how we can homeschool and parent our outside-the-box kids so that we can equip them with the tools and strategies that they need to thrive as exactly who God has intentionally designed them to be. If your child doesn't fit into the box of the world's expectations, this is the place for you.
Hey friends, this is Lindsay with A Heart for All Students. And what's happening in the church culture today and in the culture and at large is that when children don't respond to that traditional approach to parenting and education, mom feels like a failure. Mom starts to resent her child. The dynamics between parent and child become more and more destroyed. These kids receive messages that tell them they're not good enough because everything they do is wrong because they don't respond in the traditional way. But today I want to answer a question that one of my girlfriends in the group asked me yesterday. But this mom was very, very concerned because her child is an older child, middle school, but he has a slower processing speed. So when I talk about slower processing speed, I'm talking about the kid that takes forever to do 10 math problems and they know how to do them. You might ask them a question and it takes a long time for them to answer. They have a slower processing speed. Now, this does not mean that they are less than. In fact, they're probably gifted in some other area of the brain and some other area that is going to take them so, so far in this world. However, they have a slower processing speed, okay? Even if your child doesn't have a slower processing speed, this general principle that I'm about to share with you right now applies. Her question was, the teacher's telling me that I need to have my child do all the problems. All the math problems, but just pretend it's math, all the math problems. But the problem is, mom says, is if he does all the math problems, then he is going to be spending his entire day doing schoolwork, and there is no time for family time and for relationship building and for him to pursue other things that are important and that are part of who he is. So her question was really about how long is too long? How long is appropriate, and how much repetition do we need in order for a child to receive and process information and be able to retrieve it later to be used? That's the goal of education, of learning anything. The goal is for our children to be able to receive, process the information, take it in from short-term memory into long-term memory, and then be able to eventually retrieve it again and be able to apply it wherever it needs to be applied. That's the goal. The goal of true education is not accomplish 50 math problems. Now, if the goal is how many math problems can you do in, 5 minutes, fine. But really, in the grand scheme of things, doing 50 math problems in a certain amount of time, no, that's not the goal. The goal is learn the skill, how to go from short-term working memory to long-term memory and be able to retrieve it and process it and use it in the way that it needs to be applied next. So her child has slower processing speed. My perspective, my principle will always be the same. Small chunks of intentional teaching done well without stress over time will yield the fruit that we want it to yield. If the child is so overwhelmed because the concept is new and they're learning it, they just automatically shut down. They're not willfully shutting down. So for her child, this is the principle. You choose to give him that which he is emotionally and mentally able to process, receive, and then later retrieve. So I would much rather a child spend 10 minutes working on 5 math problems that are more challenging, that he is just learning. Do them well, do them correctly, without stress, for 10 minutes in the morning. And then tomorrow, do the same thing. Or before dinner, for 5 minutes, do one more math problem. Same concept, one more math problem. And do them well, because then your child will actually receive, be able to process the information. The fight or flight part of the brain shuts down. The prefrontal cortex, which is the executive functioning part of the brain, it's a lot of terms. All that to say, the part of the brain that is able to receive and process information is available when we take away the barriers of you will have to sit here for the next 5 hours, because that's what everybody says you're supposed to be able to do. We need to teach the children based on their capacity, based on who they are, not who the world tells them they're supposed to be. When my second daughter was learning 3-digit by 2-digit multiplication, it was the funniest thing. She could do 2-digit by 2-digit, no problem. But as soon as that third digit entered in the picture, whether it was psychological or whatever, it was super overwhelming to her. There was just something about those extra steps that was super overwhelming to her. So I realized I could sit there and be like, you know what you're doing. You did it well yesterday. Well, it's okay if they learned it yesterday. But if they're anxious and overwhelmed, they can't retrieve that information. So what I did is I was like, okay, my goal is for her to learn the concept, use the skills to get the correct answer, and be able to do it again for quite some time. We would just say, for the next 10 minutes, we're going to do this. We're probably going to work on about 2 problems, maybe 3. We're going to work on 3 problems. Very intentionally, very deliberately, without stress. And we would do that for like a week on this one concept. She was like, she was able to understand it. She's able to get at it. Now she can do many, many more problems than just 2 at a time. But if we do that fire hose approach to education on children, we teach our kids the wrong message. And then they hear, I'm so stupid. Why can't I do this like this person? I'm trying so hard. I want to. Our kids want to please us. If our children didn't have to take 5 hours to do 20 math problems, they wouldn't. They want to go play with their friends, or they want to go spend time with you and have fun. They don't want to disappoint us. All that to say, small chunks over time yield fruit. Step by step, step by step. That's how we teach our kids. You look at the child you have, and you provide them with what they need to succeed. And eventually, those 2 problems per 10 minutes become 4 problems. Then they become 5 problems. And then later, when they need to apply that to algebra, they already have it, because they did it very intentionally over time. Where people say, how do you eat an elephant? 1 bite at a time. How do you teach a kid to succeed in math? 1 problem at a time. Not 50, 1 problem at a time. I hope that encourages some mom out there who knows this is not serving her child well. Remember, God gave you that child on purpose. Your kids were counting on you to go to bat for them. And that's why I created aheartforallstudents.com.
Hey girl, I hope that was helpful for you. I hope it was helpful for you to understand how much not only do our kids need the right tools and strategies in order to help them best handle their big emotions and feelings, but how much we need them as well. And that there's such grace for all of us, that we're just a work in progress. And the more that we know, the more tools we have, the better we can live and the best we can be for our families and for ourselves. So I hope that was helpful for you. And again, if you missed the NCHE 2020 Summit for Teaching Exceptional Children, I'm so excited, because now you can access the workshops from that conference. One of them that I did was called The Unregulated Child in Your Homeschool, Using the Sensory Systems, Self-Regulation, and Other Strategies to Support Your Child in Their Learning, but also at home. Go to aheartforallstudents.com and grab that training. I am so excited for you to get your hands on that. Watch it. It is an hour-long training where I dive deep into the brain, self-regulation, sensory strategies, and of course, God's heart for His children. There's such grace, and I'm so excited for you to check it out. Go to aheartforallstudents.com to access that. And of course, once you do, you had better email me and let me know what you think and ask me your questions. We're totally in this together. And every time you send me a question, it helps me to better serve you and your family and everybody else who needs this support. So I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Hey friend, guess what? You just finished an entire episode. Give yourself a pat on the back. In the season of parenting where we are barely surviving, every accomplishment is a victory. So take it. And while you're at it, if you found this episode to be helpful, please consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast episodes. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss a thing. And if you're looking for more practical tools and encouragement as you homeschool and parent your outside-the-box child to thrive, go to www.aheartforallstudents.com. There are tons of resources, freebies, and lots of extra support over there. Don't miss anything. And don't do this thing alone. Friend, we're in it together, and together we can change the narrative for our neurodiverse, outside-the-box kids.